Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, July 7th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and of course, get the ever-so-popular Chicken Whisperer collector cards. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on, just like today. All you have to do is when you're at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio, scroll down a little bit because my understanding is the chat room opens up automatically. So just scroll down, you'll see it. You'll be entered as a guest. But we would love for you to take a moment to register because that will get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name just like the rest of us. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, participate in the chat by talking with others and asking our special guest your questions. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's an awesome Thursday. We have an awesome show for you, and now it is time to bring on my awesome co-host, poultry advocate and author, City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great, wonderful, all-around, multi-talented young lady. We sure do miss she's not here, Pat Foreman.
hey, Whisper, yeah, guess where I am broadcasting live. Guess where I am?
You are at the Playboy Mansion with Hugh, with Pat.
No, it's better than that.
Oh, okay.
No, I am, well, you get, I'm in Vermont, so there's a clue for you.
Okay.
I'm in Vermont.
Are you standing on top of that massive compost pile where they have 3,000 to 6,000 chickens churning it over and over and over and over again?
I am. I'm at the Vermont Compost Company, walking between mountains of compost. It's incredible organic equity here, and we're up here with the executive director of the Virginia Horse Center, who wants to do some sort of a composting big scale operation there, with their tons and tons of wood shavings, bedding. So yeah, and we've just had the most remarkable morning with Carl Hammer, the owner of the Vermont Compost Company, talking about, you know, sustainable agriculture and how this could be done in communities and how we can build topsoil instead of losing so much topsoil. So I'm just almost having a peak life experience here.
He's been on the radio show before, and it's been fabulous. And
that's
an awesome place. Now, last time he was on the show, he was talking about getting several thousand more chickens. What's the total now there on the ground as far as chicken compost movers?
Well, he's got just still about 1,200. He was going to increase it to 1,000, but one of the things they just did a couple of weeks ago is they were over-roostered. They realized they had way too many roosters, so they put about 150 roosters in the freezer and been having some cacovan and chicken rooster marinade and all that sort of stuff. He says they're absolutely delicious, and, of course, the broth that comes off of it is that really thick, because these birds have been out in the sunshine eating bugs and weeds and turning compost and eating scrap people food and turning it into food for people through their eggs as well as the roosters through their meat. But it's just been an absolutely fabulous morning. Carl is truly an agricultural renaissance man.
Yeah.
It's amazing. In fact, he made a statement today that made so much sense to me. He said, remember the NPK and Ludwig when the agricultural testament that came in, and he said NPK is all the soil really needs, and they were putting it on right after World War II, and things were growing really well. But they left the humus, the organic matter, out of that equation. And by the time, so NPK and the chemical fertilizers became really profitable and well established. But by the time, after about 5 to 10 years, they realized that they didn't have the organic matter in the soil, and they weren't getting the nutrition or the fertility that they. But they were. It was too late to stop. The organic matter had been plowed away, and so much had been lost. So they had to just keep on going with the NPK. And on his deathbed, he recanted, saying, "We made a terrible mistake. We've got to include organic matter in the soil for our food production."
Mm-hmm.
But by then it was way too late, and of course we're down the road now about 50, 60 years, and here we are. So I'm standing on one of the few places in the U.S. that has a net gain of organic matter, especially fine compost, and it's totally alchemically made out of human food waste and the old bedding and the wood chips. So he's really doing a sort of a phoenix rising here.
So
So how many?
Smell, I can tell you too. There are mountains. There's no trash odor. I don't even see hardly any flies. The chickens take care of a lot of those, and the birds are looking really good. And then they've got the three German shepherds that help guard the birds, who are free to leave, by the way. But they don't, of course. Call them free to leave, but why would they leave paradise here? And they're on Main Street in the capital city of Montpelier. So here's a model that is close to the people that eat the food, that need the soils, and there are farmers all around. It's just a beautiful model. Anyway.
Tell me how many hundreds or how many thousands, dozens of eggs that he gets. I know that there's a number that you have. How many hundreds of dozens of eggs he gets every day or every week? There's a number there that you quote.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. They have about 1,200 on the average chickens, including roosters, and they get about 1,000 dozen eggs a month. 1,000 dozen eggs a month from 1,200 birds, and they don't buy a single bag of grain. There's no import of grain for either the chickens, and as I found out this morning, or for the dogs. They don't buy dog food either. So they're really the eggs are such a fringe benefit that and they sell them to the community and of course use them for themselves. They've got a little farm up here, a little CSA that they of course have the best topsoil
that's
in the world.
That's a fabulous profit. If they could get $3 a dozen, that'd be $3,000 a month just for eggs that they don't have to buy grain for.
$36,000 a year.
Yeah, truly amazing. So,
and the chickens really do add to the compost process. I mean, besides just cleaning up the little food scraps and all around, they are turning it, so they're aerating the soil, and they're also adding their manure and their feathers, Carl estimates they're worth about 6 tons of heavy equipment, fuel free, that work 24. Mm-hmm. Every day, 365 days a year, without any employee benefits, without complaining. Without any management problems, so it's quite
perfect.
An operation. We hope you get up here sometime. It's worth worth having a tour. Yeah.
I would love to. When I'm up there in Vermont, I'll need to make sure I get some maple syrup as well.
Oh, I bought a half gallon of maple syrup at the farmer's market from the family that made it. I was so pleased with that, and they gave me a complimentary maple sugar cookie. Thank you. It was so good. I don't get cookies very often.
Did you have coffee with it this morning then?
No, but I did. I told Catherine, the executive director, I had a quarter of a cup yesterday as a tea break, and I said this is going to make me high as a kite because there was really good cream and stuff with it, and that's the first coffee I've had in the last 2 weeks since before that silent retreat, silent conscious breathing retreat. So I'm still pretty pure, but one little relapse there. But anyway, we're having a great time up here. I so wish you were here. We would really enjoy it, you and Jen both, and the little Caleb. So how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you. Still very busy, but loving it down here, and just busy as can be. I'm not going to bore people because nothing much has changed since yesterday, the day before. Just busy as a little beaver around here and getting things done. Jen's, of course, primary job is taking care of our new son, and mine is making sure everything gets done around here to get this thing in ship-shop shape as we need it. So other than that, pretty much the same old thing. We got a great show lined up for everybody today. We do have Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist, and professor. And she's got we're gonna see what we're gonna do. I told everybody on Facebook last night and today that you can call in with your questions. You can post your questions. I know we have a caller right now on hold. I believe that may have a question for the doctor. So we may take some. We may take some calls, some general calls from our listeners. If you have questions in the chat room, other than that, I was over here looking at our scheduled topic, which was of course, hang on just a second. Let me see, pull it up here for July the 7th, and it appears that. Hang on one second. Let me get back over here for a second. There we go. It appears that our topic today was going to be Christmas in July, holiday poultry planning. And so you know what that means, Christmas in July? Musicians there, and they have a couple of those CDs if you're interested, and there's always somebody that wants to know where we get that, and there's two CDs available at eggcartons.com. Our friend Scott has provided us with that track, and are several Christmas tracks, and so occasionally we throw that in the loop to surprise some folks, and some people love it, and some people want to throw themselves in front of a lawnmower when we play it, but nonetheless, we're gonna play it, and so being that today maybe we'll bring Dr. Frey on here in just a minute, and see if we're still planning on Christmas in July, holiday planning for our poultry, and we also want to take some phone calls and maybe get some questions in the chat room. So I know Pat, she was doing the math here. I'm not sure what her comment's going to be, but she was doing the math that Vermont, up there in Vermont at the compost factory, they have 1,200 chickens, and they're getting 1,000 dozen eggs a month,
approximately.
Okay, so she's done a
and
little math.
And that's on the average. You know, it's less in the winter. It's more in the summer.
She was her quote here in the chat room for you, Chad, is that's a production rate of only 33%, which is really not all that great. Most hens operate at about 85%. So, but now the fact that they don't have to actually have any grain or any food or any supplement like that, they're just, hey, there's your food, take it or leave it.
Well, not only that, but some of these birds are 8 and 10 years old, Whisper. I mean, they don't take them out at 2 years. So I think he said the oldest one he had is something like 12 years old, and she's still laying, yeah, it's not about production models here. The eggs, again, are just a side benefit. It's not one of the mainstream production lines. But,
makes complete sense now. So when you get all the information, then we can assess that. So you would just, you know, PhD, that got that doctor in her. She's got to do the math. We love it. We love it.
That's good to know, too. I'll share that with Carl. He probably figured it out. But listen, we still are on tour, and we've got a lunch scheduled here with Carl Hammer. So what I'd like to do is right after Chickens in the News, if we're going to have that, I'll log off. And I'm sure since you've got Dr. McCray there, you're in good hands. You'll just sail right through the show.
Absolutely, no problem. I really right now don't have a lot of Chickens in the News. I was going to defer that today so we can maybe take some calls and questions from some listeners and then get into our topic. If, again, that's going to be our topic today, Christmas in July, there it may be a different topic. So that's no problem at all. So, Pat, I'm just going to bring on Dr. McCray here in a moment, and we'll let you go have a wonderful lunch there up in Vermont at the Vermont
Conference. Oh, it's going to be so good. We're eating at a restaurant called Kismet, and they use just about 100% local foods, and it's a gourmet restaurant, and there's a wonderful story. There was a horrible flood here in the spring, and it wiped out tens of thousands of dollars in this restaurant's basement, because they're right there by a river, and the local local businesses and people went together. They raised $50,000 to enable them to get back into business and keep going. So there's an example of the community really supporting one of their local entrepreneurs when they had a situation that would have put them out of business otherwise. So I just love it.
That's a fabulous story, yeah. Well, enjoy your lunch, and I know tomorrow is Fun Friday, and I believe your schedule allows you to be here for the whole show, so we'll be looking for you to call in, and we'll be talking with you tomorrow at noon right here on Blog Talk Radio. You have a great time up there, and we'll see you tomorrow at noon, Pat.
Okay, well, fabulous, and of course, as always, may the flock be with you and Dr. McCray and all our chat room chicken ears. So thank you so much, and I will look forward to tomorrow.
See you then, Pat. Have a great time. All right, and with that, I'm going right over here to the switchboard just below, and we'll bring on our good friend, poultry scientist, Dr. McCray. Hey, Doc, how you doing? Thanks for joining.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing today?
Sweeter than snuff, half as dusty. So doing just fine. And I was sweeter than snuff and half as dusty yesterday too. But maybe tomorrow, being Fun Friday, I'll be finer than frog hair split four ways. So we'll just have to see what kind of mood I'm into tomorrow. But glad to have you. Now I may have put you on the spot. I just looked at our schedule, and it was of course Christmas in July, preparing a holiday for our poultry. But that can change because we're very flexible here on the show, and it looks like we may have one caller here that's got a question for you. We may have some people post in the chat room, and then I'll Facebook here in a minute for folks to call in with their questions. So it's pretty much up to you. What were your plans today, Doctor?
Well, we can certainly start by answering some people's questions and then go into the Christmas into July in July talk.
Very good. Christmas in July. Very good. Well, we'll go to the phone lines. It looks like at least one here that may have a question for you. Calling in from area code 337, welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. If you'll state your name and tell us what state you're calling from, please.
My name is Charles Freeman, and I'm from Louisiana.
Ah, thank you for calling in, Charles. Do you have a question for Dr. McCray today?
Yes, I do. Listen, I have a turkey that has what we call bumblefoot, and I was wondering what I could do to help this turkey's feet, because the bottom of his feet are real swollen, and we call it bumblefoot, and I was wondering if there was something I could do that she would suggest doing.
Well, bumblefoot is first and foremost caused by an injury to the foot. So the first thing you need to do is find what caused the injury and remove it from the pen. So take a look at where they're roosting or perching. Smooth out any bumps or cracks or splits in the wood. Also take a look around the pen. See if there's anything sticking into the pen, like maybe if you bent chicken wire around a pole and maybe some of that got loose and the bird bumped into it. So get rid of those sharp surfaces so this doesn't happen to this bird or any other bird again.
Okay.
Now,
he's a free-range turkey, and he used to sleep on a wooden fence. And I noticed since his feet started giving him trouble, he doesn't sleep on the fence anymore. He stays mostly on the ground or on top of a feed barrel.
Right.
And I never thought to look. I did look at his feet, but I didn't see any signs of injury like you're talking about. But I can double-check it and make sure there's no cuts or anything like that.
What you need to do is as soon as you suspect bumblefoot, you need to wash off the foot and look for the injury.
Okay.
And usually
the
faster...
Would it be exactly where the swelling is, or would it be in between the toes?
Usually it's in the pad of the foot, but it doesn't mean that it won't happen in the webbing.
Okay. Okay.
But you will need to wash those feet off, get them really clean, look for a scab, look for some sort of injury.
Okay.
If it's oozing, you need to wrap it up and put antibiotics on it. Just plain old Neosporin will do the trick.
Okay.
But you need to catch it early. If it's not early in the game, it may have healed up, and then there's not a whole lot you can do. It may be permanent for the bird.
Okay.
And so whenever you see bumblefoot, you need to catch it and take care of the problem immediately, or it may become permanent for the bird. If you see a scab, one thing that I did when I was very young is I pulled open the scab, which was very painful for the bird, and I squeezed out the core and rinsed it out with iodine and water, iodine soap and water. And then I wrapped it up really good. for about two or three weeks.
Doc, when you're saying wrapping, how do you wrap a three-toed foot like that?
You do whatever the heck you can.
Very
and
carefully.
And you have to keep them in a very clean pen. You have to keep them in a very clean pen, a pen that you clean the feces out of every day. And you have to change the wrapping every day.
Okay.
But if it's too late, I'm not going to advocate lancing open the bumblefoot area. I'd leave that to a veterinarian because there's a lot of blood vessels and tendons and muscles in there that you don't want to mess with.
Right.
But if it's still oozing, if the wound is fresh, you need to clean it out. You know, if there's any pus that wants to come out, help it come out.
Okay.
But you really need to wash it very well every day. Dry it really well, bandage it up really well.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it might be too far gone now because it's been a while since he's had it, and I know all my old timers around here have told me to lance it open, and I never did because I didn't want to hurt him, you know. And
well, you have, luckily in Louisiana, you do have some veterinarians who are poultry knowledgeable and can assist you. And how to find those people, you need to call your extension office or your state vet's office, and they can direct you to the person who's closest to you.
Okay. Okay.
And I would never lance open a bird's foot simply because I know all of the equipment that exists within a bird's foot, and I'm not playing with it.
Right. I understand. And like I said, I've seen old-timers lance them open and put them back, you know, put them back either on the pin or on the tether, whatever they had them on. And I never heard of wrapping the foot. I'm glad I called because now I know I have to wrap it and how clean I need to keep it.
Yeah, antibiotics are going to help you. If it's still got, you know, if it's still oozing or something like that, you want to check for maggots too.
Okay, I haven't seen it oozing. I've never seen it ooze. When I noticed he was walking tender-footed, because like I said, he's free-range. He stays loose at the place. And when I noticed he was tender-footed, I caught him and looked, and I noticed that he had swollen pads underneath his feet. And I spy he's got bumblefoot. And when I saw you on today, I said, let me call and see if she can give me some pointers on what to do or which direction
to
go with it.
Well, I always advocate for taking care of problems immediately and never wait.
Right, right.
Because now you might be in a situation where the bird's not going to have all that great of a quality of life, unfortunately.
Should I butcher him?
That's up to you. You are the only one who can determine the bird's quality of life and if he feels comfortable or not. That's not anything anyone can tell you over the phone or over the internet.
Right. Well, let me ask you then, is bumblefoot something that I shouldn't butcher the bird? I mean, is bumblefoot something that's caused him to not be eatable?
Oh, no. He would be edible, yes.
Okay. I mean, because I do raise him for the meat and to eat him, you know, but he is my favorite, and he's beautiful and all that stuff, so I didn't want to go that route. But
that's deemed pretty painful, isn't it, Dr. McCray? Pretty painful for the bird.
It can
obviously
be, yes.
Causing the limping. And then my
sometimes
understanding,
it
too,
resolves itself, but not usually.
Now, with that infection, if their own healing system tries to heal that bumblefoot. I've also seen and heard stories about that infection really getting just hard as a rock and almost like a crustacean in there where if you do surgery, you have to literally just kind of scrape that infection out that's actually hardened. But if the infection, if the bird can heal itself, I guess does that infection that's hardened in there, that would stay in there and still cause some birds some problems
that's
with walking?
That's scar tissue, basically.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And that would
right.
be uncomfortable for the bird to walk on.
Okay.
I can tell you.
It is definitely, if you're doing this for production, you would cull a bumblefooted bird. And
right.
you would find out why that bird got bumblefoot and remove that object from the environment.
Exactly. Okay.
Great.
Now,
all right.
Should you talking about antibiotics? Should I be giving him penicillin or something?
No. I can't prescribe anything over the phone without looking at a bird, and I'm not a veterinarian.
Right. Okay.
All right.
So you would need to seek veterinary advice.
I appreciate it.
All righty.
Sure.
Thank you very much
thank
for your call.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you. Take care, and thank you very much for your call. A wonderful call, wonderful advice. We're sorry that his favorite turkey, he said, has what maybe Bumblefoot, and we hope he can take care of it. Maybe he'll try to treat it, and if it's just too much for his bird, then it sounded like he wouldn't have a problem if it was best for the bird to call that bird, but at least he would feed his family with it. So he, like you said, he'll have to make that decision. All righty, the phone lines have lit up today, so that's a good thing. And so we'll just go on to the next call here. It looks like from area code 337. Area code 337. You're live on the air with Andy and Dr. McCray. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please. Area code 337. Okay, let's go down. We'll go down to the next one. We have one calling in from area code 260. Area code 260. You're on the air with Andy and Dr. McCray. Tell us your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Ruthie, and I'm calling from Indiana.
Hi, Ruthie from Indiana. Thank you very much for calling. And do you have a question for Dr. McCray today?
Yeah, I do. My mama bird I noticed yesterday that her front is real, I don't know if it's the right word, distended or whatever. And I could remember some things flying by about impacted crop and all. So I picked her up, and I was feeling it feels real squishy. I thought I heard somewhere along the line like that you're supposed to kind of tip them up and maybe stuff will come out. Nothing did. I put her in a separate spot, and I gave her some water with, like, some vegetable soup broth stuff in it and some vegetable oil. I thought I had heard something like that, but I'm just not sure what to do. I'm trying to watch to see if she's going poopa or not, you know. But I was wondering if there's something more besides for doing a major surgery that might, you know, move that along.
Well, first and foremost, how long have you been raising chickens?
About 8-9 years.
Okay. And this is, so you know the difference between a crop being full and a crop that's in trouble.
It's, yeah, definitely. No, it's really out in front. She looks really abnormal.
Okay. Is this a bird that has access to plant material?
She is in a fenced-in pen. And there is, you know how chickens are, I think they're trying to save some, so like around the edge is all grass, but they've got it pretty much down to the dirt.
Okay.
In the center.
What I might recommend is that you just put in a pen without food right now to
mm-hmm.
see if there's any sort of emptying of the crop, plenty of water.
Okay.
If there is something wrong with the crop and it is a pendulous crop, there's not a whole lot you can do.
It's
not a bird that you want to breed.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bird that is now susceptible to all kinds of other diseases. So you did the right thing by separating it. And you should keep
uh-huh.
it separated until the problem resolves itself or until the bird passes.
Do you give it like the poultry grit right now?
I wouldn't.
I mean, would that, you wouldn't? Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, that's most effective in the gizzard, not the crop. There's no grinding
okay.
action in the crop. It's just an outpocketing
okay.
of the esophagus. There's no real major muscle movement there. And that's
okay.
And you're not going to be assisting the bird by putting grit out.
Got it.
There are people out there who would lance the bird right open, and
I
I do not advocate home veterinary medicine. There are qualified individuals out there who are trained to help you. And so if you feel that the bird is in genuine distress and it's not resolving itself in a couple of days and the crop is not decreasing in size, I would go see a vet. This could be worms.
Okay.
This could be something more. It could be just a pendulous crop. So you need to seek veterinary advice and get an assessment of the bird.
Okay. Okay, will do. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your call. And we hope you can find an avian vet or a vet that at least has some experience and that would be willing to see your poultry. I know that, and I hear from people all over the country that sometimes that's a challenge. Dr. McCray, obviously, you know, driving an hour or two hours. Or, it's such a challenge out there. And because the last numbers that I knew of and that I've heard is that on the entire North American continent, not just America, but the North American continent, there were around 200 certified avian veterinarians. Now, that doesn't mean that others can't help you if they have that experience, but that it can become a challenge trying to find appropriate care for your birds. So,
and that's a risk that you take when you take on poultry as a pet. And just like you would get a new puppy or a new kitty, you have to research who is going to be your veterinarian before you get started with that new pet. So if that person is 2 hours away and you're not willing to drive that, then you need to rethink if poultry really is going to be part of your life. Should they become sick, are you willing to go see a veterinarian?
I think that's a great, great idea with any other pet or animal that you may have. So if you're on hold, please stay with us. We're going to get to your phone calls immediately here. So if you're on hold, just stay there. You can listen to the show live as it's happening. We'll go down the switchboard here.
Oh, and Andy.
Yes.
Just so people realize, it is a business that we're talking about here, veterinary medicine. Vets don't work for free. So if there's nobody seeking out poultry veterinary advice, nobody's going to recognize that there's a need.
Interesting. So that makes sense. That makes sense. Oh, you know, I got one person last year that came to me wanting to help with their birds. So why would I go and get this extra training for one person when if they had a multitude, then that completely makes sense.
Right.
Supply and demand.
It's kind of a self-perpetuated problem. People are trying to be frugal and not spend, you know, $200 on their chicken.
Right.
So why should the veterinarian provide that service if nobody's using it? So why go get certified?
It is
a self-perpetuated problem. So unfortunately, nobody likes to spend money on their chickens because they are so darn affordable. But you have to look at it from all perspectives to understand the dynamics of the situation.
Absolutely. Thank you for that tidbit of information. Okay, let's head down here to the next caller that has a question. Caller calling in from area code 207. 207, you're on the air with Andy and Dr. McCray. Tell us your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name is Heidi, and I'm calling from Maine.
Heidi from Maine, thank you very much for calling in with your question today. What is your question for Dr. McCray?
I have a hen that I bought at a chicken swap last April, and I'm thinking she might be an internal or a phelps layer. A couple times we found yolk hanging from her fluff on her backside, and we went to cut that off the other day, and we noticed her abdomen was really swollen and heavy. She acts okay otherwise. She forages and, you know, free ranges. She does have a little more difficulty getting up on the roost than the other girls because she is heavy for her size. And one time we did find an egg with no shell up on the poop board, which we had never seen before with any of our other hens. And we're just concerned, you know, is there something we can do? Does she need a hysterectomy? How much do those run? I would like to keep her if possible. She's a good bird, but I don't want her to suffer either. So far she doesn't appear to be suffering other than struggling to get up on the roost, but she does make it. But I'm just worried of what's going to happen down the line if this keeps up.
Well, number one, this is not a bird. Thank you for your question, first and foremost. This is not a bird you would want to perpetuate to breed if she's having difficulties like this. So take her out of your breeding pen if you have one. Secondly, if you have, there is no real hysterectomy for chickens. I don't know any veterinarian who would do that. Potentially this could get worse. And you would have to look at the quality life of the bird to determine when it would be appropriate to put her down. I don't know any internal layers that if it's really bad, they're just going to continue to fill up their body cavity, and it's going to push all their organs out of shape and cause them discomfort eventually. So You need to be the determiner of how the bird feels. Seek out a veterinarian so that you'll know who to go to should the time come that you want to put the bird down.
Mm-hmm.
Does she lay eggs at all?
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I've seen her go into the nest box and, you know, do the egg song, but then she gets up and there's no egg. I haven't really, you know, had a chance to see it all, but I don't believe I think she laid one egg maybe. The person we bought her from said that she had stopped for the winter, but he expected her to start up again. But
you got somebody else.
Really
you got somebody else's
evidence.
Problem.
Yeah,
they knew what was going on. You got somebody else's coal. And
right.
I know this is probably a pet for you, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she is. I mean, eggs are a good bonus,
but she's not earning her keep
thing.
Right now. And she's likely to cost you money more than anything else at this point.
I'm not really worried.
You've got decisions to make.
If a hysterectomy were possible, the cost of a hysterectomy, you know, that's, I'm not really worried about the extra mouth to feed per se. She's a nice bird.
It's not really reasonable to do a hysterectomy for a chicken because when they're in production, that's a huge portion of their body cavity that's devoted to the oviduct and ovary. So, you know, it's a quality of life issue now.
Right.
So
she's acting okay, but
right. I would put her alone to see if you get any eggs from her at all.
That's a good idea.
And
okay.
If you are getting an occasional egg, and then that means she's occasionally doing internal laying, then that's one way to assess her egg laying status. So you should probably give her a week or so. Maybe give her a buddy to hang out with so she's not totally ticked at you for putting her by herself.
Right.
And disturbing neighbors with her protesting calls. But you need to be able to assess, you know, am I getting any eggs from her at all? Or is she just, you know, completely doing the daily internal laying? One thing that you might try to do is completely separate her and take her off of 14 hours of light so that her oviduct regresses and see how she does.
Right.
Which means she's going to be on short day length. You'll have to keep her in darkness for a larger part of the day. And you may or may not be able to pull that off.
Right. To figure out something to do with that, but it might be possible. And she might be older, too. The guy thought she was, you know, a little over 2 years, he said.
Yeah, that's when things like this can go.
Would that actually be something in her favor, not laying as often?
No. Usually you get internal layers either right off the bat when a young hen first starts to lay. Sometimes it doesn't all go perfectly. And then older birds tend to be your internal layers, and that's why you get rid of them.
Yeah, it's the pet, though, so, yeah, no, it's like I wouldn't mind if she didn't lay any eggs at all as long as she's healthy.
Right. So, and that's one of the things that you have to do, you have to make some decisions on, is she feeling well? Is this, you know, is she comfortable? Do you need to create a roosting pole for her that's lower to the ground? You know, those sorts of things.
Right. Okay. Oh,
it's not an easy answer,
and you're
mostly looking at an industry that's designed around easy replacement. So you can talk to a veterinarian. There's no guides out there, honestly, for a hysterectomy for a chicken. It's not done. So they would be lost, as I'm sure they'd be lost as to how to help you on that front.
Okay.
Interesting
question, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Very good, caller. Thank you very much for that and giving us a call. And I can tell you, you're going to get the truth. You're going to get the right information calling versus maybe some of the other websites that you can see that are out there. And this here, you can make one phone call and get the right information and truthful information, whether it's the information you really want to hear or not. So I'm just give us a call, 347-637-3237, 347-637-3237, and we still got about 15 minutes before we're going to go to another break, so let's scroll down here a little bit, and we'll bring on a caller from area code 405. We're taking them in order, so please stay on hold if you're on hold. Area code 405, you're on the air with Andy and Dr. McRae. Please tell us your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, Andy. This is Tracy from Oklahoma City.
Hey, Tracy. Thank you very much for calling. And what is your question for Dr. McRae?
Okay. I have a question on heat treating eggs with an antibiotic dipped from mycoplasma. How effective is that in eradicating the organism from the eggs? I decided to call my flock instead of treating them, but I have a rooster out of Fred Hyman's line of Dominiques, and I would really like to try to preserve my genetics. So what I did was I brought the temperature of the eggs up to about 110 degrees in the incubator, then soaked them in an ice bath of tetracycline at 800 milligrams per gallon in an ice bath to drive the antibiotic into the egg. I left them there for 30 minutes. Now my flock of layers was exposed to mycoplasma before point of lay, so they only have about a 5% chance of transmitting the disease anyway. I wondered if your guest had any information on how effective that treatment might be and how old the chicks should be before I test them again.
Okay, that is a very good solution that you came up with, and a very interesting question. Thank you, by the way. I'm sorry that you're having a problem with mycoplasma, but to my knowledge, I do not know about the penetration capabilities using the tetracycline dip that you came up with. The mycoplasma would be in the yolk. There's a barrier around that yolk called albumin or egg white. So I don't know as to the level of penetration that you are getting inside, you know, once you put that dip in place. Now, just so your listeners know, Andy, when you put a hot egg in cold water, it cools the egg. Therefore, a cool egg constricts the entire internal contents. Constrict as they cool, pulling in moisture. And that's what your listener from Oklahoma City is knowledgeable about. She's wanting to pull in that antibiotic into the inside of the shell. The trouble is, I'm not sure anyone can answer your question because I'm not sure who has done that sort of work or when it was done. Certainly a literature review could potentially provide you with such information. I don't know of any recent work on that. A literature review...
Yeah, I just read that they did it back in the 50s.
Yeah, that sounds about when you would last see mycoplasma work of that sort. And you can go online to poultryscience.org and look at some of the journal articles from Poultry Science. Don't look at Journal of Applied Poultry Research, because that's a more recent journal. It doesn't go back as far as Poultry Science Journal. And you can look under antibiotics, eggs, and mycoplasma for your keyword search. And there should be potentially some information out there for you. Now, I'm not a veterinarian, so I don't know the vaccination schedule for mycoplasma for your younger birds. And so I don't have that information at my disposal.
Okay.
So thank you for your wonderful question, but I have been zero use to you today. But I think that's a pretty advanced practice that you're using, and I say kudos for doing your homework.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Wow. That was quite amazing. That was well over my head.
well thought out. She's using information and knowledge that she's been doing her homework and asking questions, and that's what I love to hear about.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Holy cow. What would she, I mean, would she go to an expert breeder? Would she go to, like, Cal Davis out there to another, you know, where would she start?
Well, first you would do a literature review. to see if that information is out there.
It's already out there, written somewhere in a publication.
Yeah. And then you would potentially, let's see, she's in Oklahoma. Probably the closest to her would be Oklahoma State University or Texas A&M has an excellent, excellent poultry science and poultry extension program. What I would do next is find a mycoplasma expert and a mycoplasma expert in poultry might have that information at their disposal. And there are avian veterinarians out there who are mycoplasma experts and might be able to answer that question for you.
So you have to find one of those 200 on the North American continent. My goodness. That is fabulous. What an awesome question. And that's why we have the experts in their field here. And even then, it's so defined.
Yeah.
Vividly that you say, you know, one day we had a caller and you were like, it may have happened up there at Cooptastic, and you said something like, you would have to contact a PhD in eggs. I mean, you'd have to, whatever the question was, it was like you would have to ask an egg scientist that, which is just, you know, amazing. Every little thing has their expertise, so amazing there. Okay.
Like my expertise is in management and small flocks niche markets,
mm-hmm.
but I also have, you know, done a couple of research projects, my master's and my PhD in microbiology. So, you know, pre- and post-harvest food safety, including mm-hmm. microbiology, is my area of expertise. Could I have gone down the mycoplasma route? Absolutely. But that really is, you know, I don't want to go back to school for another 4 years to become an expert in that. There are people out there who are experts in this, and I don't know who they are right now, but asking, of course, Texas A&M University is one of the seven universities in the United States that has a poultry science department, has a repository of expertise. They can certainly point you in the right direction if they don't already have a poultry scientist, a poultry veterinarian, a poultry extensionist who's working on those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a question here, and it may or may not be enough information, but I promised this young lady that I would ask the question when I posted it yesterday evening on our Facebook page. And first off, Serena Cherie said, she posted.
Cherie's hilarious.
I had posted.
I know her, so.
I said, have chicken questions. Many of you have chicken questions, but how many of you have access to a poultry scientist? Tomorrow, la, 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 la. So the first comment was from Serena. She put, you're talking about one of my favorite poultry people. So got to love it. And
We were part of the Pacific Poultry Fanciers group in the Sacramento area. She is a wonderful breeder of, well, getting started with, I think it's blue-laced red Wyandottes, extremely rare, and she's got bantams. So she's a wonderful person, poultry expert, and got her son through the 4-H poultry program in California, and he just graduated high school. I remember when he was a mini 4-H'er.
Perfect. Okay. Here is, and you just never know who's going to pop up on your Facebook page and say, oh my gosh, I know her, or I love her, or I met her. So awesome. Okay. Kimberly has a question here. She had to take her girls to the dentist appointment today, but she does have a question. So I told her that I would ask this question and then she could listen to the archive. Since then, she's added a little bit more information. So, in fact, she said, because I told her, said, oh, you can listen live on the phone. If you have unlimited cell phone minutes, just call in. You can listen and even ask your question no matter where you're at in America or the world, da-da-da-da-da. And she had a comment that said, it was funny, she said, under any other circumstances, that would be fine, but I just can't really talk about chicken diarrhea with the kids at the dentist office. They'll probably think that I'm weird enough. They probably think I'm weird enough already. So that's obviously your question. Let's see. Let me get up here to it. It says, apparently her chickens have diarrhea. Apparently there are no other symptoms present. It's not Cecil. It's already wormed. clean coop, and it started before the heat hit, but needs to be treated, though. And then, let's see, she put, they have dropped some weight. Help, what would be the best course of action? She has two that are doing this, but one other is not so bad. It says, but five have it in the pen. Wish I could call in. And then she put, this may help too, she put some information where she researched potassium pomegranate. Have read some where with treatment. Mother Earth News did an article and listed as possible treatment for chickens as well. It's very pricey, and maybe the toxicity of that. Potassium, I want to say it's pomegranate.
Permanganate.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, I'm thinking of the vegetable that you eat or the fruit that you eat. So, yeah, that's it there. So her question is, she's got some chickens that have no other symptoms other than diarrhea. It apparently started before this heat wave came, and she wants to nip this in the bud, and then she has researched the potassium from Mother Earth News. So may not be enough information. I promised her, though, I'd ask because
yeah.
She wasn't able to call in.
And what do you think I'm going to say?
Call a vet. Or actually take them to the vet.
You have to find a reason as to why they're making diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know why they're making the diarrhea, you have no treatment. Is it worms? Is it a bacteria? Is it a vitamin imbalance? What's going on? Why are these birds having diarrhea? You need a diagnosis. Don't mess around with treatments until you have a diagnosis. Because you can talk all you want about potassium permanganate. You don't know what's causing the diarrhea.
Okay.
Treat the cause, not the symptoms.
Exactly.
Okay?
I agree with that,
and
too.
And if you don't know what the cause is, then, you know, if you're not willing to spend the time to find out what's causing the problems, then don't dink around with treatments that are a maybe. And you could lose the bird in the meantime.
Possibly finding the cause and curing that or fixing that.
Right.
Cure the problem without going down a medication route, which is
exactly
always perfect.
It's a Band-Aid. You need to know what's causing the problem, and then you can treat it effectively.
Perfect.
So
good information.
That is, and hopefully she's isolated the birds that are having diarrhea so that they do not infect the rest of the flock.
Perfect.
So she can find a veterinarian or a diagnostic lab. Diagnostic labs usually do this for free. Not all of them, but if they're going to charge you something, it's usually a nominal fee.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty modest compared to, like, say, a cow or a horse. So you can contact your state vet's office, find out a local veterinarian or the diagnostic lab. Oftentimes, diagnostic labs will only... it's a terminal lab, which means they look at all the tissues, which means the bird has to be put down. And if the bird's in dire straits anyhow, that may be an option that you want to consider.
Okay. Thank you for that information.
And that's why we have diagnostic labs, because y'all aren't the first chicken owners to have diarrhea, and you won't see the
won't
last.
Be the last. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, for sure. We've got another caller. Thank you so much for holding. They've been holding for 31 minutes and 46 seconds to get their question asked, so we appreciate them on hold. We're taking them in order. We've got two more after this. What we're going to do is, after this caller, we'll take
a
commercial.
Boy, we're not going to have time for chickens and
that's what I'm thinking,
Christmas
exactly.
In July. We'll have to put that off.
That's fine. This is a fabulous show already with lots of valuable information. And so we'll go to the phone lines now. Caller calling in from area code 952. After this call, we'll take a break, doctor, and then we'll come back and see if we've got at least two more that are on hold. So area code 952. I think this is Michelle or Brits and Grits in the chat room. Welcome. And what's your question for Dr. McCray?
Hey, first of all, I just want to go on record saying that I would wait till eternity to be able to speak to you.
How about that, Dr. McCray? Wow.
No, I think that was directed to you, Andy.
Oh!
It was actually for both of you guys.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so first of all, I want to go on also record saying that I have contacted my local vet because I did take this on as a serious responsibility. I feel that it's a symbiotic relationship. I have responsibility to my animals, and they provide me food. And anyway, so my local vet has flat out told me I don't really know. He had to call over to Virginia to see if they could do the necropsy for me if I have a need for that. So he didn't know what the prices were or anything. So he's been flat out honest with me, and I appreciate that. My situation right now is I have one juvenile hen who has this lump on the side of her head. And seriously, it looks like a donut. In the center of that is like, it's like normal. And then it's a ring around where it's like swollen. And I thought, you know, I separated her and I put her in a pen. I didn't know if it was a simple thing where she got pecked on and it just maybe got infected. And I've been giving her like the dermicin. But I don't know if that's, you know, for like, I'm guessing, from what I've been told, that's normally for, like, respiratory. I don't know if it's something that I should go and try to lance because it's still swollen. After, like, 3 days, it doesn't look like the bump has changed at all.
Now,
or
this,
should I
this
just,
bump,
like,
is, this,
take
is
it
her
to
eye
vet
in the middle of it?
No. It's on the side of its head.
Okay. Down by the ear?
Yes. It's actually a little bit below it.
Okay. It could be anything causing that, from, like, say, a spider bite to an infection or a follicle that is infected. Again, what a veterinarian could do is withdraw some of that fluid and plate it to see if it's bacterial, and then you could prescribe antibiotics. As far as lancing it, you're playing around the throat area and the ear area. And you're dealing with birds that have sinuses that are more skin over bone rather than bone over bone. If it's too close to the cervical air sac, you could rupture that. I'm not going to say that you should play with it. Your veterinarian doesn't know what to do, right?
Yeah, he's just been honest with me, saying that he doesn't really know much in terms of birds. I mean, when I went to him and said, you know, like I had a hen with a blowout, he was like, oh, I don't, you know, you can bring it in if you want. And that's sort of like, you know, so I'm like, okay.
So here's what you do. So here's, unfortunately, not all veterinarians are chicken confident, or even some won't even see chickens. They know they're not capable, so why waste your time? So he is part of your state's Veterinary Medical Association. What state are you in?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Okay.
All right, everybody stop laughing.
So the West
I'm naturally related to any of my family members, okay?
I made no comment, love. It's okay. So you will need to have him advocate for you, and you need to advocate for your bird. And this is for all the listeners. When you run into these problems, number one, you are in a state where physical separation from towns can be just difficult, and getting around can be difficult. It's not like here in Delaware where in about 3 hours you've hit top to bottom and drive. So you need to advocate for your birds. You need to ask your veterinarian to contact the State Veterinary Medicine Association, to which he is he belongs. He has to have continuing education, so there's an association for him to turn to. And ask them to look up where an avian veterinarian is. If they don't know, call the state vet's office.
Okay.
If they don't have anyone, if you truly are in the black hole of avian scientists or even exotic bird vets,
then I should become one.
Then, true. There you go. You would make some money. And you should probably go to Virginia Tech for that. There you go.
Okay.
Then you would probably contact, you would ask that association to find the nearest, and which would probably be Virginia. And probably there's a veterinarian in the Shenandoah Valley near where Miss Pat Foreman lives that might be able to be of assistance. Either way, knowing where you live, you're looking at a drive to reach a veterinarian. In the meantime, veterinarians can work with one another, send photographs to one another. If the veterinarian is able to withdraw fluid and plate it and maybe get some growth, he might be able to send that to the state diagnostic lab and have them determine what's growing in there. And then based upon what's growing in there, the microbiologist that's there can tell you, oh, it's full of E. coli. Well, that's probably a secondary infection, and something else is the problem.
Okay.
Wow, or it could be the primary problem. You never know. It could resolve itself by the time you get an answer. But you're advocating for your bird, just like any of you parents out there would advocate for your children if mm-hmm. you needed a service through your school. All right? And unfortunately, not everybody is interested in advocating in such a manner, but you have to understand that once you become the expert in this, share your information. Mm-hmm. Share with everyone.
I'm pushy. I can do it.
Okay, good.
All right, great. Thank you,
so you
very,
have some
very
options.
Much. I appreciate it.
No, I didn't give you an easy answer. I never seem to. But I'm giving you more options.
That's okay. I mean, at least I know now what to ask for and what to actually expect from my veterinarian for my dollar. I guess, you know what I'm saying? If I'm paying, I should also expect a certain level of cooperation on his part as well.
Right.
In terms of, like, being able, if it's something that's out of his realm, it's okay to ask somebody else.
And not a lot of veterinarians... Well, not a lot of poultry owners know that their veterinarians belong to an association that is a collaboration of people with many expertises. And once your veterinarian realizes that you are willing to advocate, hopefully they are of such a reputation that they are willing to help you get the answers for which you're searching.
Great. Well, thank you once again. I really appreciate your time. And
thank you for your question.
Your
excellent.
Help. All right.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All righty, folks. We're talking with poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McCrae today, and we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, it looks like we've got one more caller calling in from, I believe, North Carolina, area code 911. You'll be next on the air when we return after this short break. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back with more Chicken Questions with Dr. McCrae right after this short break. Looking for something? Find it online at BidBird Auctions. BidBird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. Need an incubator? Think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
This looks like a job for Super Chicken. You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We've had a great show. We've answered many questions. Our guest today, of course, being the first Thursday of the month, always joining us the first and third Thursday, and any fifth Thursday of the month, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, and small flock specialist. And we've got, she's going to, I put her on the spot, but she is going to have our trivia question for the day. She's going to, when we get to it here in about 8 minutes, she will ask the trivia question. I'll pick the lucky number caller. She'll ask the question, and then, of course, she'll have the answer. And so today's prize is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. I posted a link to it in the chat room. It is a brooder kit valued at $50 plus shipping right to your front door. It includes the corral, a waterer, a feeder, a brooder lamp with the bulb and a dimmer switch, and it's just a great, great item today from our good friends at Critter-Cages.com at $50 value if you're the right caller and know the answer to Dr. McRae's question here in about 8 minutes. So, as promised, we're going to go to, looks like, North Carolina, area code 919. You were on the air with Andy and Dr. McRae. Tell us your name and what part of North Carolina you're calling from.
Yeah, my name is Elaine, and I'm from Garner, North Carolina, and
Thank you.
To you guys last week with
Very
Hannah
good.
The Crossbeak chicken.
Oh, yeah, Hannah the Crossbeak.
Good.
Perfect. Thanks for calling back.
She's doing good. I actually trimmed her beak. Somebody had recommended trimming it, and seems to be doing better, and my daughter's feeding her the mash, and she likes that. And the question today actually is about that same bird. When we were trimming her bill, we found I was petting her under her neck, and there was a little lump there. So we looked, and I posted the picture of what it I found on your page just a little while ago on your wall. And the best I can describe it is it looks like little grainy things stuck to the root of the feather, and we cut them off. I mean, I only noticed it on the one side.
Can you see that, Dr. McCray, on our Chicken Whisperer Facebook page?
No. Can someone post that link for me?
I sure can. Give me just a second. Copy, and let me get in the chat room, and I'll be there in just 3 seconds. And
no, I didn't notice any mites or anything on her.
Try that, Dr. McCray. It links right to it for me.
I'm clicking on it. Hang on.
Okay.
Oh yeah, you got mites and lice. Yep, those are nits.
All right. Now, I didn't notice them on any of the other birds, and only on the one spot for her.
They're there somewhere. They're there. Check all the birds. Check everywhere on the birds. Check for. I don't know if these are lice or mites.
Yeah, I didn't see any. We have a Polish that gets the mites more mm-hmm. than anybody else, and we have. You know, we dust the boxes and change everything. And
do they have access to the outdoors?
They're free range during the day.
Yeah. You're going to fight this for forever then. So you need to check your birds monthly for nits and for you know, critters on your bird.
We pretty much check them every day. And it's just weird because it's only on her and I cut all those off, and when we do find things, we usually bathe them and blow dry them. And I know it might sound silly, but we keep our birds really, really clean.
No, that's the most effective for an immediate knockdown. But it's not unusual for birds with crossbeaks to have problems with external parasites because they can't groom themselves.
Okay, because I noticed it on her, so we're going to give her a bath today.
Yeah, but you're also going to have to treat
off.
The bird's environment because it's not only on the birds, it's in their environment.
Now, we have the poultry powder, and we've been doing that on the boxes and stuff. And like I said, I haven't seen anything on the other birds.
You do it every
They're
2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've got a publication on this out, and I'm scrambling to get this posted into the chat room real quick. So,
Lauren. So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, and dispose of those feathers too.
Yeah, we took her in the house yesterday when I was doing her bill, and I noticed them on there because we're like fanatical. Our chickens, they don't smell like chickens. When they smell, then we bathe them. But, it could be because she doesn't groom herself. But,
they can still have. Parasites. Here, found
That's
it. Hang on.
Epidemic in Mike with the flock, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be in your entire flock. So, here I posted in the chat room. That's the link to a publication that I put out when I was an undergrad because there's a real need for more information on how to identify and treat mites and lice in chickens.
Okay.
And so, it's a free publication, so you can print that out and keep it on hand. And once you understand the life cycle of these organisms, then you
mm-hmm.
can really treat the problem. And so the life cycle is in there.
So is that like eggs or something on her?
Yep, they're basically eggs, which
okay,
they can still hatch. That's why I want you to dispose of them.
they're in the trash.
Okay,
the
good.
Trash outside. But now I need to, people have said stuff about that, was it DE, the earth, the,
Diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, thank you, because I can't pronounce it. Is that something that I should use?
There's no information out there to prove one way or the other the effectiveness of diatomaceous earth.
Mm-hmm.
But some people still put it out there for their birds to dust bathe in.
Okay.
But I would say if you're using poultry dust, that'll take care of it.
Right.
Okay.
If you're putting it out. And you have to treat the environment, too. And, you know, when you have this problem, you're looking at a good 3 months' worth of work to break the life cycle. But if you're reinfecting the birds by letting them run loose and come in contact with wild birds, then...
Okay, because
is a management issue.
We just moved them to the back wooded part of our yard because they were all over the whole yard, and now that it's swim season, they're pooping all over the deck and everything. So I said, okay, they need to be secluded to a smaller area so we can, as humans, can walk around and enjoy our yard. So maybe it's something from back there, so I should treat
any
that whole area.
Any wild bird that they come in contact with can share this lovely problem with your flock.
Okay. So
you need to remove vectors of disease, which is wild birds that can bring this in. And so this is a management issue now. What are you going to do to manage your birds to prevent this recurring problem? And you don't want to travel with your birds either. You want to isolate yourself until this problem is taken care of.
There's one more product that I will actually plug for you as well. We had the creator and inventor of this product. It's called Poultry Protector. It is also all natural. It uses enzymes, and it will kill not only the mites and lice, but also the pupa and the egg and the baby, everything. And so I don't have a link right offhand. You can go and look, research it. I know it is on the ManaPro website. If you go to manapro.com and then click on poultry and then products, you'll see it's a spray, and you'll spray your birds. You can spray the nesting boxes. You can spray the environment, the whole nine yards. It's another, if you want to use, the all-natural alternative like diatomaceous earth, which some people do for multitudes, but this is also an all-natural treatment that that people are raving about. So that's just to throw out one more thing that you might want to try. It's called Poultry Protector. You can probably Google it and find it at a local store in your area as well. And it's just a pump spray, which you would spray on your birds. And, again, all natural using enzymes. So wanted to throw that out there as well. So, obviously, as Dr. McCray said, a management issue there. And she'll be back in 2 weeks. And you can follow up then with her as well. And we do appreciate your call from North Carolina. Thank you for calling again this week. It's about 21 past the hour, and that's going to wrap up our Q&A segment with our friend Dr. McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist. What a great episode we had today. And like I said, we were talking about all the great many questions we had today. And I just publicized the show very well on Facebook and Twitter. You know, chicken questions, you know, call in. How many of you, you know, I get questions all the time via email and via the Facebook page. And then when we have the experts on, it seems like everybody disappears. So I wanted to say, hey, here is your chance. So if you have questions, don't just post them or rely on a forum where who knows what kind of information you'll get, good, bad, and ugly, when we'll bring in the experts right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer firsthand. So we've got to get to our Chicken Trivia Contest. And, of course, today, Thursday, is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com. And we'll pick airplane. We just had a sonic boom here. We live probably about an hour away from an Air Force base, and every now and then we'll get the sonic boom, and it's just boom. And me and Jen look at each other. We haven't been down here long enough to really, you know, the regulars, the locals are just like, whatever, doesn't faze them. But whenever we hear the sonic boom from the jets, it startles us a little bit. We looked at each other, and I was like, a mouth to her, sonic boom. It's funny. So we'll go ahead. I'm going to pick caller number, we'll do caller number 9. Caller number 9 today at 347-637-3237. Same call-in number, 347-637-3237. You're playing for a beautiful brooder kit valued at $50 from Critter-Cages.com. Caller 9, if you know the answer to the following question. Dr. McCray.
You must not have gotten my message that I couldn't remember what the question
was.
I got it saved.
No problem. I'll ask it. No problem. Hang on, because I did save it.
It's got a French word in it, but if you post that question back to me, I will read it.
I didn't get the message. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Hang on. I will post it back to you. If I just hit that, then you should automatically be able to scroll up and get that. Sorry about that. That was a little miscommunication.
Actually, that didn't work, Andy.
Okay, hang on then. Okay, I didn't know what you would get, so just a second. Oh, it's not going to let me copy in. Oh, there it goes. There it goes. Okay. Perfect. We'll have you.
Because I worded it in just such a way. There we go. Thank you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right, so today's question, sorry about that, folks.
No problem.
Today's question is, and it's for all you eggheads out there, what type of meringue is also known as œufs à la neige and is often served with custard or fruit sauce? I want to know the name of the type of meringue.
Okay. Very good. I'm going to go, while we're waiting for that to light up, we're going to go to a short commercial break, get a couple played here, and then we'll be back with hopefully our winner. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after this short break.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
And today's Chicken Trivia is brought to you by Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us. We've got about 3 minutes and 20 seconds left, so we've got to go right over here to the switchboard. And caller number 9 is calling in from Lucky, area code 207. 207, you're on the phone with Andy and Dr. McCray. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
You say 270 or 207?
270. 270.
Okay. My name's Suzanne Critter Lover, calling in from Kentucky.
From Kentucky. Thank you very much for joining us, Critter Lover, there in the chat room. And we're not going to have to repeat the question due to time, but what do you think the answer is?
Snow eggs?
Not quite what I was looking for.
Okay, that's fine. We got
it. But hang on, just
okay.
A sec.
Okay, sure.
I'm trying to make sure that it's not a cross term here.
Okay. That's fair.
No. I'm not
okay.
Going to accept snow eggs.
Okay, we'll go to the phone line. They're calling in from...
Wait. I'm sorry. I apologize. Nope, she is correct. I apologize.
Okay, caller 270.
She is correct.
You're still live, caller. Yep, congratulations. She had to do a little cross-reference there, and that is an answer that she can accept and will accept. So you are today's winner, so congratulations.
Good
and
job.
What was the answer that you were going to have?
For a poached meringue.
Poached meringue, and snow eggs is an acceptable answer there. So, caller, if you would, just send me over an email with your winning information. I'll need, in the subject matter, put brooder kit. Subject matter, brooder kit of your email, and then I'll need your name, your shipping address, and your phone number. Send that to chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Fun Friday is tomorrow. Very, very quickly, about 80 seconds. Dr. McCray, if you'll tell us about your Facebook page where we can send all of our great listeners over to the research page.
Great. I have a Facebook page called the Center for Small Flock Research and Innovation where I put up a trivia question every day from the Avian Bull Manual, which is the manual from which I obtained today's question. And so congratulations to Critter Lover for a job well done. She knew the answer to my question. But every day I will post a question, a trivia question, on that page for you to take a look at. And also, as research projects come about and good information about upcoming events comes about, I do also post on that page. So good job. Thank you very much for your wonderful questions today. I look forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks.
Sounds
or maybe
good.
We'll fit in a little something about Christmas in July.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us. 25 seconds left. Folks, tune in tomorrow. Another great episode of Fun Friday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thank you so much, Dr. McCray.
Thank you.